the deep end. People talk a lot, but they don't know. They pretend. They pretend. They don't really know how deep it goes. Now I'm misunderstood.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. Today is Monday, April 19th, and this is the third edition of The Deep End, where the fabulous Penguin and I will be talking about one subject until we're done. Welcome, Penguin.
Thank you, Max. I'm done already.
It's a slightly different way of introducing them, but here we go.
All right.
So I have something that piqued my interest and then sort of started me down a long, sad road. Somebody was saying, I tend to watch the Sunday morning political talk shows, that, and they were talking about the banking problems. And they were saying that people don't think the government is listening. And I think that there's something to that. I think that part of what makes the teabaggers have whatever traction they have is the same thing that drives the liberals nuts, which is just that it seems to be all this sort of talk from Washington and not a lot of listening. Uh-huh. And that got me thinking. But every time I thought about Congress, I kept running into stupid things. So
okay.
Tonight's episode of The Deep End is Dumb Not So Dumb for Congress.
Okay.
All right. Shall I just jump right in?
You can start, and I'm sure I have a few things to add to it.
All right. I don't even know where to begin, honestly. I think I'll start slowly, and only slowly because this is kind of an old story. You probably have heard it. We never talked about it on the show, but it bears repeating. For the first time in 8 years, Virginia's governor, and I guess it's not Congress, Virginia's governor, by the way, the last of the Red Wing from Montezuma Winery.
Oh, all right.
Which is why the Virginia's governor sounds like this.
Right.
has issued a proclamation declaring April as Confederate History Month. You've heard about this.
Absolutely. Except they left out one little detail.
Exactly my point.
Right.
It's important for all Virginians to reflect upon our Commonwealth's shared history. Fine. To understand the sacrifices of the Confederate leaders, maybe not so fine. Soldiers, yes. And citizens, where, and you know where I'm going, where do the slaves fall in this? They were soldiers, unfortunately, for the Virginians. They fought on the other side. Were they citizens? Can you be a citizen if another citizen owns you? I mean, this is manifestly dumb.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And they asked the governor, and he said, you know, oh, yeah, sorry.
Right.
You know, you just want to
see. I know. I share your frustration, and I guess, you know, I don't even know where to start with this.
Well,
whole
that's
thing.
My point.
You know, part of it is it just me, or does it really seem like in the last 15 or 20 years that Congress itself, the governments in general, have become even more partisan than they originally were?
Think you're right. I think people have been talking after the health care bill about how much Nixon tried to get health care reform.
Right.
You know, the great evil Nixon that we liberals like to pillory.
Right.
Was working toward some sort of national social health care system.
Or the fact that the Democratic health care plan that eventually was approved, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways is Mitt Romney's plan from up here in Massachusetts.
Right.
Very, very similar.
And Mitt Romney's walking away from that as fast as he can.
Right. And he's walking away from it not because it's not a good idea, but rather because it got to be a Democratic idea rather than a Republican idea.
Right, and he's saying, Mitt Romney, and I guarantee this will happen, when the election comes, and Romney, don't make no mistake, is running for president.
Oh, he's the front runner right now, I think.
Right, and God bless him, because the other choices are, well, I have a soft spot in my heart for Bob Huckabee, because he's funny as hell.
Yeah, but he's scary. He's not quite as scary as Paul, but he's scary.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
He's a young earth creationist.
Right.
But Mitt Romney's a friggin' Mormon.
Right. And I was going to say to you, the two things that should make the next election just wonderful for us podcasters is going to be, how does Romney deal with the Mormon issue and the healthcare issue?
Right. Well, because how he's going to deal with the healthcare issue is he's going to say it's different because it was one state rather than 50 states.
Right.
And I guarantee you one other thing. Romney will win one state. Do you know what state that'll be?
Utah.
You better believe it.
Right. Well, you know, this whole thing about this partisanship and the way that they are arguing back and forth is just very, very – I mean, in some ways – and I'm gonna end up regretting saying what I'm gonna say right now.
Don't say it.
But there's, in one way, it is the one thing about the Tea Party that I feel like I can respect.
What's that?
It's the fact that what they are calling for, what some of them are calling for, and maybe in its original idea or incarnation or whatever, they were calling for. You know, I understand smaller government, all that stuff, but what they were calling for was the ability to be heard.
That's my point. That's what's driving this whole.
Right. And what we have right now is Democrats who don't listen, who claim they listen to Republicans.
Right.
But you know, I would suspect they really don't. And you have Republicans who are not even interested in what the Democrats have to say. All they're interested in doing is if it has a Democratic stamp, we stop it.
Right.
We repeal it, we stop it, we change it, we don't go for it, whatever. And, you know, like one of the things that happened on the talk shows this past week where they were talking about Goldman Sachs.
Right.
Essentially getting caught with their hand in the till big time.
Yeah, yeah. And for historical purposes, Goldman Sachs was accused this week by the SEC, by the way,
right,
of having created a financial instrument filled with the worst possible investments, and I love the term, betting against it by selling short in other financial investments.
Absolutely. And the problem is that came out on Friday afternoon.
Right.
On Friday morning, the Republicans stated that they were against any kind of Democratic attempt to
regulate
Wall Street.
Right.
And then this comes out later on in the afternoon. So, I mean, they have to immediately abandon that idea or they're going to be – I mean, you don't have to be a complete idiot to understand that that's –
Well, and I watched Mitch McConnell and he said, well, that the Democrats are doing it the wrong way.
Right.
See, I think – and I have nothing against Nancy Pelosi, but Congress is part of my problem, the focus of this conversation. I honestly believe that Obama, who is decidedly not a liberal – ask the people who are going to be drilling offshore,
right,
is listening to the Republicans. He's desperately, quietly listening to hear what the Republicans have to say.
And I think he's trying to incorporate some of their ideas, and it has gotten him in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Because in order to do that, he's had to move a lot closer to center.
Yeah. And people like me are saying,
right,
hey, wait a minute. What about this war? What about this offshore drilling?
What about all those ideals? What about all that those promises? Oh, absolutely.
What about closing Guantanamo Bay? You tell me you're a liberal, and look what you're doing.
Right.
So, meanwhile, the Republicans, I can just picture them as one guy in a dark suit who has turned his back. Obama's got his ear behind the guy's head saying, talk to me. And the guy's got his arms folded saying, mm-mm. Just shaking his head. I'm not going to say anything.
Right. Well, didn't you say at one point that the best way – that somebody that you knew used to espouse this theory about elections where they said the way to get elected was to position yourself
– Oh, yeah.
Just to the – well, I don't
just to the center.
Just to the center of
young Danny, I won't say his last name because he hasn't approved it, but my friend Dave's oldest son, back when he was a young teenager, said this politician is boxing out the other one. I think he was talking about Bob Dole.
Right.
And he said he's moving to one direction, probably to the right, and then anything that's righter than that, let the other guy have, and he'll take the whole middle and the left.
Right. Well, you know, this could be the second act of that story.
Well, I think they all do it.
Once you are elected, the way to stay in power is to then move from wherever you are more towards the center so that you have the support of the most people.
Unfortunately, you're wrong, and I can prove it.
Okay.
The election, the upcoming blah, 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 Cranberry Bog, no. It's Red Wing from Montezuma. The upcoming senatorial election in Florida, Governor Crist, who I can't think of his first name.
Charles Crist.
Who I thought was a really serious candidate who could have beaten Obama in the general election, was thinking about running, very popular Republican, year and a half ago, is running for the United States Senate now. And a young state senator, Rubio, is running against him. And Rubio is going hard right. And he's saying Governor Crist is not nearly Republican enough. And what happens in primaries is the faithful, the passionate come out. And this happens on the left, too. So your most liberal people are looking at Daniel Patrick Moynihan, for lack of a reasonable example, to go way left because those are the passionate party voters. And right now, Crist is in real trouble and is considering running as an independent. Because all the people in the middle of the political spectrum in Florida would vote for him. But he might not be able to get out of the Republican primary because he's not wild-eyed crazy.
Well, in some way, that's not wrong what I said. That kind of goes against what your friend Dan said.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
What I was saying, and I agree with you, what I was saying was that once whoever it is gets elected, in order for them to stay where they are and accomplish anything, they have to move from their position more towards the center.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if this other Republican beat, and it is Charlie Crist.
Yeah.
If he beats him, he's going to be running in the election on a very, very narrow continuum of that scale.
Right. You're right.
And if he doesn't move more towards the middle, there's a lot of people in the middle who are going to say, even people who are in the middle slightly to the right, who are going to say, this guy is nuts.
Right. So you're right. And actually, the more sophisticated way to view the boxing out theory is you have to tack to the right, and then you have to box out to gain the center.
Right. But you're right. Crist is in trouble, and he's in trouble, you know.
From the right wing.
Yeah, and it may cost him. And that, again, now that gets back to the Tea Party stuff, and that gets back to a lot of different things. I mean, you know, in general, I mean, look at how Scott Brown distanced himself from the Tea Party after he got elected.
Now, that was a boxing out strategy.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's my theory right there. I mean, he took the money, he used them to get elected, and immediately took two steps to the center.
Right.
And he knew that he wasn't going to accomplish anything way out on that wing.
Not only that, and you're right, the most important thing is accomplishing something. But he's never going to get reelected in Massachusetts if he doesn't move toward the center.
Right. Absolutely.
And thankfully he has, so, you know, we'll give him some credit.
Right, right.
But that doesn't touch my point about Congress being out of touch, which, again, I'm going to another story, which is a governorship. But I'm going to get to Congress, okay?
Right, sure.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell has declared that May will be, guess what?
I heard this and I don't remember. What is it?
Nazi History Month.
Right.
Now, like I said, dumb Nazis are dumb. Mm-hmm. It is important to understand that there were acts of valor and bravery on both sides, and that the wounds of the past will never be healed unless we have a better understanding of our shared history. fine. Right. Besides, good Christian soldiers fought on both sides in Europe. Why were they fucking Christians if they're killing each other?
Right.
Excuse me. Cranberry Bog. No, it's Red Wing from Montezuma. We have many German-American descendants in Virginia. Are you fucking kidding me? We have many German-American descendants in Virginia.
Right.
And in the 1930s, Germany represented a type of social experiment that, while not completely successful, not completely successful, at least showed what an organized, disciplined society with a dynamic leadership might offer. Where are you going?
Right.
In Richmond, Tea Party activist Gunther Lincoln Rockwell said he supported the governor. Duh.
Right.
It's about time we had a fair and balanced account of World War II. Guess what? I'm going out on a limb and say one side was right, one side was
wrong. Probably. You're probably pretty safe there.
I feel pretty comfortable in the United States in 2010 saying one side was right and one side was wrong.
Right. All right, now I got one for you, right? Along the same line. Did you hear about Sarah Palin and what she said about the founding fathers and the separation of church and state?
You know, that's not even on my list. No.
All right, I have the quote right here.
Please.
Okay, she said, now she's speaking to a religious gathering in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And she's addressing the idea of whether or not religion should be separated from state. And she said,
I have an opinion about that.
I know. I know you do. There's two sentences I've never heard before. All right? And this is what she said. I beg you to bring light and be involved, loving America and praying for it. Really, that's how I'm doing, praying for it, yada, 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 yada. Then she said, this is what God wants us to be. Lest anyone try to convince you that God should be separate from the state. Our founding fathers, they were believers. And George Washington, he saw faith in God as basic in life.
Oh, well, I know the world's foremost authority on George Washington is Sarah Palin.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, this is the thing. She doesn't get it. Saying that when they wrote the Constitution, saying that when they did all this work that they did in founding the country, doesn't mean that they weren't religious, nor does it mean that they didn't believe in God. What it means is they saw that you needed to have those two things separate because that's why the country was founded. The country was founded because people came to this country from another country, another world, basically, for religious freedom. That's why we were founded.
There was.
But it also realizes that there is freedom in that religion. You have the right to believe whatever you want to believe, and that has to be separate. You can't have an official state religion or church or federal religion.
There's a textbook that I had as a history student in college that is titled The Age of Religious Wars. And that's the point. Jefferson, who was a deist, by the way, believed that nothing good could come of governments fighting governments in the name of religion.
Right.
Now, the one thing that they did that was damaging to the future, apparently, was to say they're endowed by their creator. Most people, and I suspect a lot of them are Tea Party baggers, the Declaration says they're endowed by their creator. There's nothing at all in the Constitution about God. The only thing there is in the Bill of Rights, which says what they call the Establishment Clause, the government shall make no religion.
Right. Absolutely, I got that right in front of me, too.
Make no
law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Right. It's freedom from religion as much as it's freedom of religion. Because if you can't be free from religion, you have no freedom of religion.
Right. Well, what this leads me to say, Max, is, and that may be the whole point of this whole deep end today.
Yeah.
Okay. The question really is, do these people who say this, when the governor in North Carolina says, forgets about the slaves,
right.
When Palin forgets about the Constitution or Bill of Rights, when, you know, whenever these things happen, are they doing it because they are ill-informed and ignorant, or are they doing it because they are catering to their constituency that they are hopeful will bring them somewhere else?
You know, I suspect the answer is neither. I think the answer is they just plain believe it.
You think that that's it, that they honestly believe? You think that the governor of North Carolina doesn't think that slavery was an important part of North Carolina's history?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think that I can't conceive of a man getting to be that age and getting elected to that public office being that stupid.
Well,
just can't. Maybe I'm being naive, but I just can't believe that somebody could be that stupid.
No, what I'm saying is that I think Sarah Palin believes that the Constitution was based on some sort of divine providence.
Well, that's, you know, that was going to be my next point, which is, and that may be the topic of a whole nother debate. So let me just, I'll just finish one sentence and then let you have it.
All right. I could probably finish in 7 minutes or more.
Okay. So what I was saying was, is that, you know, that, that this could be the subject of a whole nother deep end.
Yeah.
In that it would be a discussion about why does suddenly people have this feeling that religion needs to be an important part of the government. When for all these years we've basically existed without that. You know, the government, your religion is your religion.
I have a theory about that.
Okay.
I didn't teach, but I tutored at junior college a course in history. And the course in history suggested that there are three trends in the world that are continuing. One is democracy, one is capitalism, and one is secularism. Got it out. And what happens, I believe, with all of what's going on today, and it has happened again and again and will happen again and again, is reactionary conservatism.
Okay.
That they see the direction the world is going, and the people who are uncomfortable with change are screaming like people on the deck of the Titanic that their world is changing.
Interesting. Interesting thought.
Deep thought, huh?
Yeah, it is. So go ahead. Talk about the rest of your stupid government things.
All right. Dumb, not so dumb in government, part two. Section 1. There's a guy named Brown, a member of Congress. Remember I told you I'd get to Congress?
Right.
Who, in the course of a speech in front of the people in Congress, called the Civil War the War of Yankee Aggression, the Great War of Yankee Aggression.
Okay.
And he was referring to the Obama health care plan and comparing it to the Great War of Yankee Oppression. Now, some would consider this inappropriate. There's a reasonable suspicion that the Obama health care plan is designed to help Americans of all stripes, and certainly the most lowly Americans. And the War of Yankee Aggression, maybe he's right, was also designed to help Americans of the lowest stripe. They were called slaves.
Right.
I just have a problem with 19th century phrases in a 21st century world. And I think Congressman Brown needs to wake the fuck up. All right. That takes care of that one. I've got to get to Hank Johnson later. Forget Michelle Bachmann. We know about Michelle Bachmann. I'll skip that.
She's one loony dude.
She's a piece of work. She did say on another front that she feared that young people would be sent to re-education camps when they're in their I don't have the name right in front of me, you know, their service to America year.
Right.
Under the guise of volunteerism, but it's not volunteers at all. It's paying to people to work on behalf of the government. God forbid, you know.
Right.
It's amazing to me that we even got a census off this year. let me see. We got the Nazi history. We got the South American or North Carolina in South Appreciation Month. I've only got one thing left, and it is my favorite of all, Representative Hank Johnson. You've probably heard of this.
I'm not sure. Go ahead.
All right. A Democrat of Georgia, and you can see this on YouTube, and I strongly recommend that you do. Let me see where I want to just read it to you, because addressing Admiral Robert Willard, who commands the Navy's Pacific Fleet, Johnson made a tippy motion with his hands. And I'm telling you, his head was leaning over. You have to see this video. And his hands are leaning over. He's talking about the size of Guam and adding more people to it. Okay.
I did see this. This is great.
And my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize. And the general, the admiral, who was brilliant, said, "We don't anticipate that."
Well, you know, I think I wrote recently on your blog that, you know, one of Mrs. Fab P's lines from work is that you can't teach stupid. and you know, when you have something like that, you know, I'm not sure if it's just – does it just point out how bad an education system we have in this country that somebody can do that? Can think that way? I mean, that's tantamount to saying, "Oh, I didn't realize that cell phones don't have wires." You know, that's how stupid it is. I mean, you know, that an island is going to tip over. Jesus, I hope everyone doesn't rush to the rush to Wall Street in Manhattan. You could flip the whole Manhattan Island over.
You could ruin the economy of the country by having everybody go to First Avenue
all the way downtown like that. That's crazy. You're gonna flip it over, idiot.
I think he really believes in an island's float. We don't anticipate that, said the admiral.
Yeah.
Reach for Common, a spokesman for Johnson, said the lawmaker had visited Guam, and his concern was that an influx of military personnel would overwhelm the island's infrastructure. This fucker didn't know that islands didn't float. Now, I want to know why you're not in Congress instead of this guy, because you're more qualified, and I don't mean this as in any way a slight on you. But there's got to be somebody in Georgia that's a bit smarter than Hank Johnson.
Right. Well, you know, unfortunately, there's never a guarantee that that stuff works. Did you know that guy that you were talking about, Brown?
Yeah.
Paul Brown?
I'm not sure.
That's his name, yeah. Representative Paul Brown.
Okay.
Is being challenged in his district by a 28-year-old third-year law student
Good.
At the University of Georgia.
Good. Who believes that it's not okay to own people?
I guess I'm hoping that that's what he believes. I'm afraid to find out, but I'm kind of hoping at least, you know.
I have to read you this other paragraph. It's from, I don't know where it's from. It's from a website, you know, Washington Wow or Washington Quarterly or something. But right. I just have to read this because it's just wonderful. Like other islands, Guam is attached to the seafloor, which makes it extremely unlikely that it will tip over, even if there are lots and lots of people on it. That's it. That's all I got. That's dumb, not so dumb in your government. I guess my original point is, it's no wonder there are teabaggers.
Yeah, I agree. There's no wonder.
It's pretty awful.
Thanks, Max.
I'll see you later.
All right.
Bye. The deep end.